Focus Resources is the underwriter of Focus on Business. Focus Resources provides expert advice on business growth, startup, and all issues related to operating, growing, and running a business. You can find out more about our underwriter, Focus Resources, by going to their website, focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com. On today's program, we're talking about business growth. This is part three, and I want to talk about that growth with four characteristics of a successful business growth plan and a successful business overall. So we're going to get started with these four characteristics being viability, capability, credibility, and visibility. So let's get rolling and get focused on the important things. So let's talk about each of these factors. What does viability mean? Viability is about the real market potential of your business, not just the size of the market segment, but about qualified prospects, the people you want to do business with, the people that want to buy your product, the people that have the need or the pain that your product, service, or technology can solve. So viability is about getting market prospects identified, understanding your market, your competition, the other product offerings, and really digging into that to understand the viability positioning of your business for investment, for revenues, for profitability, for cash flow, and what that timeline is for an expected return that's reasonable given the type and stage of your business, the type and stage of your product, service, or technology. And it means making sure those resources are available to pursue that viable market, whether that's a small niche that you can capture a substantial portion of, or a larger market share that you can capture a smaller percentage of. What's important is to find a viable market niche that will buy your product, that needs your product. Part of pursuing that viability factor is having the capability to serve your market. And capability is a result, at least in part, of the resources, your relationships, your operational structure, your policies, your procedures, the how you do business, the what your business is, and an understanding of that viability promise that you're capable of staying in business, that you're capable of serving the customer that you identify in that viability niche, that you're able to demonstrate your core competency, the reason why you can solve their problem, reduce their pain. You want to be able to demonstrate that you have designed a business to serve them, to solve their problem. So your capability is about core competency designed, developed, and executed on both the product, service, or technology side and your business capability. Are you a smart, savvy business? Are you efficient? Are you effective? Do you understand your market? Do you understand your customer? Do you know how to produce a quality product consistently, on time, in sufficient quantities? Do you have the capacity to serve your customer base? Can you keep your commitments? That's the timing. And the promises, that's the results. That's what positions your business for success. The third component we want to talk about today is your credibility. That means that you are demonstrating to the marketplace that you do have expertise, that you are experienced, that you can deliver on your promises, that it's not just a matter of cranking out inferior products and in poor quality, but you have quality products, you have an expertise, you have the experience to execute, to serve them, to do what you say and say what you do and get all the parts to come together. So you're viable from a marketplace, you're capable from delivering, and you're credible in the marketplace. Now, the final element of the four characteristics of a successful business is our visibility. Can we find the customer? Can the customer find us? Is the competition aware of us? So visibility is defined on many levels in terms of market presence, innovative competitive positioning, your knowledge and awareness of the business and the leadership team. There are a lot of components to being visible, and it's about positioning. It's about your message. It's consistency. It's about educating and informing your market. It's about entering the competitive arena by establishing connections to key decision makers, to government representatives, to suppliers, to strategic alliance candidates, to investors, resources, distribution channels, you know, the whole gamut of the people in your community. And it's about plugging in and becoming an essential, valuable resource. It can be through social media. It can be through blogs, Twitter, Facebook pages. It can be through traditional mechanisms of being at networking events and meetings, having an ability to be known, to be recognized, and to stand for something. Not just people know of you, but they know what you do and what you stand for, and that you have the other three components, that you have a viable growing business, that you have the capability of doing what you say and saying what you do and articulating your message, and of being credible when you're articulating that the message. So let's go through the key steps of knowing your market, understanding the need, making sure you match up your product features to the benefits that your user, your customer is going to want, making sure you can quantify your resource needs realistically to serve your customer and your market, that you want to be able to identify, quantify, and perhaps most importantly, qualify the prospects out there to understand the marketplace and the opportunities and who you can really serve, who you want to serve, and who you're capable of serving. You want to manage the business and your projects well. You want to have an established plan on how you're going to do all of this. You cannot overstate how important it is to invest the time and resources into creating a plan for your organization. Especially if you're in startup mode, it's much cheaper to plan, run numbers, and do scenarios about your assumptions than it is to try to recover from bad decisions and bad assumptions in the real world. You can use an eraser, you can change a spreadsheet really easy, but when you get out there and you've staffed a business, you've made a significant investment, you've taken months to build the business, and you find out your assumption was bad, it takes time and more money to recover. And sometimes we don't have either. So we really need that plan. We need to be able to know how to adjust and correct those deviations from the plan, those bad assumptions, or the good assumptions that just didn't work because of something that happened, something that changed. We need to be able to do course corrections when necessary, and that's becoming a learning, adaptive organization. And we need to be able to understand the connection between money and rules. And so we're going to go into each of the elements that we're talking about and put them in perspective of these to-do list items. So let's go back and talk about viability. Successful businesses understand they are experts in their products, their services, their competition, the marketplace. They can tell you more about the customer than the customer can tell them about themselves. They know demographics. They know psychographics. They know buying patterns. They know economic and other trend influences. They know about the seasonal effects. They know about what is working and what isn't working in the marketplace. They have an expertise in business. They have an expertise in market knowledge and understanding. They spend time, they devote resources to constantly being aware of what is impacting their potential customer, their existing customer. And when you ask them about their business, they can articulate that. When you look at their business plan, they have a thorough knowledge included in that plan about what is going to be happening to their customer base and their prospect base over time. And they have put together an incredible team that's going to have skills and talents and experience to help them hone in on that market, to keep the business viable, to deliver that, well, I have to say it again, expertise in being in business in that market, targeting those customers with a specific need or problem. And so they're able to maximize. The other component of viability is the resources available. No matter what size of business or what stage of business, resources are always valuable and scarce. So every dollar that you have has to be maximized. It has to count. Every dollar you save, every dollar you don't spend is a dollar you don't have to earn again. And so resources and planning the deployment of those resources and how to get the best return on those resources is critical to the viability of the business. And that means taking your operating assumptions, taking your market analysis, looking at the customer and knowing, I need this many customers of this type that buy at this frequency, at this quantity, etc., and translating that into assumptions, into operating structures, into staffing plans, into financial budgets and forecasts, performas that let us say, if all of this is happening, if I'm doing these projects, if I'm hiring these people and paying them this way, and I'm doing this marketing, and I'm doing all of these things that I have to do to keep my business viable, this is how it works. This is how every dollar of return happens. That plan is not optional. It's not an exercise in futility. It's not something to set on the shelf and get dusty. It's not something to stick in a drawer. It's something to use to say, this is what I thought we were going to do. This is what I thought it would quantify as. This is what actually happened. This is how it translated. This is the action I need to take now in light of new information and rework those numbers. What you expected to do versus what happens, and compare it. That gives you an ability to understand what works and what doesn't work. And that contributes to that other component, that capability component. All too often we think our capability is strictly about our product or our service or our technology that we're producing. But our business capability, our business expertise, our business systems, our architecture, the mechanics of how we're doing business are critical to us being able to be in business and stay in business. You can have a good idea and a great business model and outpace a great idea with a so-so or a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants business model. If you don't plan to succeed, you're planning to fail. It may take more time. You may have some small successes. Hey, you may even be profitable for a time. But you have to ask yourself the question, am I as profitable as I could be with the resources I've been using? So many of the clients I work with in my consulting practice, Focus Resources, it's about figuring out how do we position them for growth. And we dig into their existing numbers to know who's the best customer, who's the most profitable customer, what lines of business are generating the profits. And some of these projects have demonstrated that if they had stayed smaller with a certain client base, they would have been making more money than they currently were. Even if they were profitable, sometimes profitability would have doubled on sales at half the volume. It would have given them more money, more cash flow, more profits to deploy to grow the business with more profitable clients. It's a really hard thing for a lot of businesses and organizations to swallow when they look at their numbers and they realize that they could have had $200,000 in profit on $400,000 in sales or $4 million in sales instead of having $100,000 in profit on $10 million worth of sales. You have to understand that the numbers and that capability of understanding and analyzing your financial results that says what works and what doesn't is a critical success factor for your business. You can delegate it. The generation of the numbers, the debits and the credits, the tax receipts, the tax filings, but you cannot delegate the accountability for understanding your numbers, getting in there, tearing them apart, and know what's working and what's not. As a business owner, as an executive, as part of a leadership team, as a person responsible for a line of business, a product line, you have to understand your numbers. What does the revenue number mean? What do the discounts mean? What's your gross margin? What's your profit margin? How are you doing on fixed costs? How are you doing on variable costs? You have to look at that and know your cost structures. And that is a capability too many businesses think is just math, or is just scorekeeping, or is just history, and you're just wrong. The numbers are the source of valuable information that help you do business better. I don't care if you know what a debit or a credit is. Debit's on the left, credit's on the right. That's really what that means. I need you to understand your equations, your formulas for how you're generating a sale. And is each sale profitable? Is it the profit maximized for the amount of investment, the business operations, and the cash flow that that sale is generating? If your numbers, your accounting system is not set up to give you management-oriented decision-making financials, then you need to call somebody in that can help you do that. I work with clients day in and day out on reconfiguring their financial systems, their accounting systems, so that they can produce, yes, the financial and tax reports that are required, but they have a management report that says, this person made this number of sales. This was the profit on that sale. This is the cash flow generated. This person has this many billable hours. That means they're covering their salary 2 or 3 times. We go through the numbers to understand who's generating the sales, who's generating the profits, and where the cash is coming from. The tragic businesses that are not capable of knowing that information frequently get in a cash crunch. They can see sales and they can see profits, but they don't have the cash flow to pay the bills. There are businesses that close their doors every day that are profitable. You're thinking, wait a minute, they're making a profit. They're profitable on the paper, but they don't have cash in the bank to pay the immediate needs. They can't make payroll. They can't pay their suppliers. And so they go out of business. Understanding your cash conversion cycle from the money that goes out to acquire resources to produce your product, your service, or your technology, to when those sales of that product, service, or technology comes back in as cash, is a critical cycle for you to understand. And it translates into your financial system. It translates into your financial information. You can slice and dice by project, by customer, by line of business. It's important to establish your financial accounting system also as a management decision-making system. This builds the capability of your organization and says, how much capacity do I have to serve my client? And how much does that capacity cost? How good am I utilizing that capacity? What are my sales? What idle capacity is not getting sold? When am I going to need to add capacity? And what's it going to cost me? And how long is it going to take to generate a return? This is what a plan does. This is how we connect a plan and results to the financials, to how we're going to market the business, to what customers we're capable of pursuing, capturing, and serving. We combine the viability of the market with our capability of doing business and serving the customer and staying in business, and that builds into our credibility as an organization. So let's look at some of the capability components. Capability is about results. It's about milestones, timelines, and financial results that we measure against the plan, against the budget, against the forecast. We look at the team, their experience, their expertise, how they're executing, how they're serving the customer, how they're retaining the customer, how they're getting a new customer. We are looking at the operations, how we use our resources, what resources we have, what capacity can those resources support currently. And we plan and we adapt and we learn and we replan and we forecast and we report against that forecast and we work the business and the numbers as part of our capability. So that when we go out to the marketplace, we're credible. And going out to the marketplace also includes bankers, lending sources, potential investors, vendors, suppliers, potential strategic alliances, joint venture partners. It includes the community looking at you and saying, hey, that business is a great community partner. They give great jobs, they're growing, they're active, they have credibility, they have expertise, they get the right results, they're out there capable and talking about growth and how that impacts their business, their employees, their suppliers, their vendors, and the community at large. And so when we're looking at credibility, it translates into keeping our commitments and having a reputation for authenticity and keeping our commitments. If we set milestones and promises with customers or vendors, we keep those milestones and those commitments. If we say we're going to pay in 30 days, we pay in 30 days. If we say we're going to deliver the product next Monday, we deliver the product next Monday. Yeah, there's going to be occasions when things glitch. But part of our credibility is saying, you know, I promised you a product on Monday. We've had some manufacturing glitches. I don't want to send you a bad product. I'm going to send it to you on Tuesday because it's going to take us an extra day to get you the quality product. It's about honest integrity of communications and commitment. And you reach out to the community through your employees, through your vendors, through your interactions, and you build that reputation for integrity of business. So when you go to a banker, your business is growing and your funding is not going to keep up. Your internal operations, cash flow, and profits are not going to be able to match up to the timing you need to spend to grow capacity. You go to a banker and you go to them with your viability plan, your marketing, your knowledge of the marketplace, your customer, the trends, the influences, and you are able to articulate that. You're able to point to a business plan and say, this is what we know about our market. We know about our customer. This is how we're basing our growth projections. Why we're confident we know we're going to be able to generate the resources that are needed. And so we're looking at those businesses as bankers, as potential investors, to say, what expertise are you demonstrating? And they look for that viability of your business model, and they take it to another step. They look at it, and they say, yeah, you know your market, but can you tell me how that's going to translate into your numbers? What capacity you're adding? How long is it going to take to get that capacity to generate a return that will pay me back the loan plus interest, that will put a return on my equity investment in your business, that will show an increase in value in your business? So credibility is about having an articulated plan, a written plan that you can hand to someone and say, we've done the work, we've done the numbers, we know our business, we know our customer, we know our marketplace. We are able to execute and show results, and we can show the connection between our execution of our plans and our strategies and those results. I don't know how many times I hear from bankers saying, oh, we're sending you this business because they want to lease a building, or they want to build a building, or they want an equity line, and they don't have a business plan, and we can't help them because they can't tell us who their market is. They don't know who their customer is. They don't know how many customers they need to meet these goals. They don't know how many people they have to meet with as prospects to get the number of customers they need. They don't have the information that makes the banker comfortable that they're an expert in their business, that they're expert in their customer, that they're credible about their business. So we have to be able to demonstrate what's commonly known as a proof of concept, not just for your software, not for your technology, not just for the product, but a proof of concept of your business model. We know how to make money. We know how to get people to work for us. We know how to get new customers. We know how to get vendors and suppliers for the inputs that we need. We have to be able to show that proof of concept. I don't care if you're a new business or you've been in 20 years, when you go knock on a banker or investor's door, they want proof of concept. They want credibility. And the more the credibility you can demonstrate, the better it is. And the more you can make a connection between what you're verbally saying and the financial forecast, the financial history, the financial reports of your past success, the more comfortable potential investors and bankers and other lenders are going to be in doing business with you. So what is visibility in our world today? This is the final and sometimes the most critical aspect. We can have a viable business. We can be capable. We can have credibility. And if we can't find the customer and the customer can't find us, we go out of business. So what is visibility today? Visibility can be generated in multiple ways. Perhaps the millennials think first and foremost of the social media, of being an online presence. And that's important because our customers are online too. At least a lot of them are. But so is our competition. So yes, visibility is an online, internet savvy organization. Being active in social media of one or two types, you can't be all things to all people, and you don't want to spend all of your time and resources as a small business being online and forgetting the rest of it. But you need the awareness and the visibility online. We need the traditional visibility of being connected one-to-one, person-to-person in referral groups, in doing business and being active in community groups, in networking, in chambers of commerce, in business alliance groups, in whatever groups are available to you that fit your business. They can be professional and technical services. They can be an IEEE for engineers and non-engineers even. It can be an Institute of Management Accountants or an IACPA. It can be related to our profession. It can be related to our industry. And it should be a mix of those things. We just don't want to be known by insiders and people that are in the same field. We want to be known by a lot of other people. Visibility is then about connections, alliances. It's about the media finding you, about prospects and customers. It's about having a consistent message packaged well for each segment of your market, for each person needing that information, and for just being authentic in who and what you are as a business. It's owning your style. It's owning your message. It's owning your product. And it's being able to convey all of those things that we've been talking about: the viability of your business, the capability of your business, the credibility of your business. And so how do we build on that? How do we bring these components together? The best place to start on all of this is a business plan. And the more people that are involved in your business and setting its directions, its strategies, its goals, its objectives, its milestones and timing, the more critical that business plan is, because that gives you a chance to sit down and make sure you're all on the same page. Do you define your business the same way? Do you view the customer, your product, the problem you're solving the same way? Do you have the same tactics and strategies, the same values and goals? If you do, that's great. You can move to the next step. If you don't, this is the time and the tool, the mechanism to getting everybody on the same page. You cannot survive as a business. You cannot maximize growth if you don't agree on what is going to happen in the business, what the priorities are, and what you want to achieve with your business. So let's look at the elements of a business plan again. And remember, this isn't an academic exercise. This is about having a well thought out structure, assumptions, and plans to keep you thinking about your business model, to understand how you're going to be in business, how you're going to make money, what projects you're going to do, what funds you need to raise. The business plan gives you the answers to the critical questions. It makes you think. It makes you sit down and put numbers to your assumptions and realize if you want to make $1 million in sales and your widget costs a dollar, you need a million units sold. Can you produce a million units? And if everybody only buys one unit, you need a million customers. It's about taking your assumptions and making them reality by using dollars and cents and then making adjustments to those plans. If you can only serve 5 customers and you want to make $1 million, you need 200,000 in sales on average from each customer. But if you can only serve 4 customers and the average sale is $200,000, you're not going to be a $1 million business. So make the connections between the financial information, your assumptions, and your plans, and set your priorities. Too often I hear that the process of writing, that it's intimidating, it's just a document, it doesn't mean anything. It's as meaningful as you make it. It's as meaningful as the time you spend planning it. And when you plan for growth, it's as critical a time as your business will have in its life. Because in planning for the growth, you start realizing the impact on your existing customer base. Adding capacity can frequently degrade existing capacity because you're shifting resources. You're using those resources to build the new capacity, to train new employees, and you have to understand that. The other flaw in growth projections and growth plans is that you get undercapitalized. You don't realize how much it's going to cost to stay in business and do business until that new capacity is productive capacity, generating revenue. Whether you're starting a restaurant, whether you're starting a car dealership, a coffee shop, an engineering firm, a manufacturing plant, capacity costs, and it takes a ramp-up time, a learning curve to get that capacity productive and making and keeping your business viable during that process can't be overstated as a critical success factor. The timelines can slide, which means you need more money. The results may not be as good as you thought they were going to be, or there might be a bigger impact on your existing capacity. Quality may suffer. Timelines may shift. And remember that credibility, that commitment to keeping your promises, to hitting your milestones, that can be significantly degraded if you're not managing the growth process properly. And if you've set too aggressive a goal for your growth, then you can also degrade that growth capability. I've seen organizations where the marketing firms referred a client to me years ago, and they referred them because they had been too successful turning on business for this client of theirs. The business had not built in capacity to serve their existing client base. So they went from being a $3 million business to a $1 million business instead of a $7 million business. They backslid because they lost existing customers. They couldn't keep their commitments. Their viability was at risk because they chose to grow. And you don't want to stay stable. You don't want to stay the same size just because you're ill-equipped to grow. So growth plans take not only financial information, but they take an analysis of how your business is going to change and the how-to you serve your customer. Accounting, marketing, customer service, shipping, receiving, any and every aspect of your business has to be analyzed for impact of adding new customers to the system. Community Radio is supported by listeners like you, organizations and companies in our community. Focus Resources supports Focus on Business and is our underwriter for today's program. We'd like to thank Focus Resources, and if you'd like to learn more about this organization that supports WCFM and underwrites Focus on Business, you can visit their website, focusresourcesinc.com. Thanks to Focus Resources and all the station's underwriters. So with a business plan, we are translating what's in our head to what's on paper as to how we think our business operates, what we think our business is going to do, who we are and who our customer is. We're translating that information so that we can share it within the organization and external to the organization. We need to be able to be consistently articulating who our customer is, why we serve them, how we serve them, why they should do business with us, what our competitive advantage is, what value we contribute. We are focused on the customer and defining who they are through not our eyes, but the customer's eyes and who they think they are. And then we step back from that and say what we see about that customer that they don't know about themselves. When we look at the customers as a group, as a segment, as a market niche. And again, the more we can translate what we think we know about the marketplace and our customer, and the more homework we do and the more experienced and expert we become in understanding our marketplace, the more that's going to translate into an effective business model. We know where our customer is, so we know how to become visible to that customer. We know where they get their information, who they buy from, what other products they're looking like, they look at and consider, and what they buy. We know whether they drive a Subaru or a Mercedes. We know whether they want to shop at an upscale mall or the neighborhood small business. We know the differences in their buying patterns. And so we know how to hone a message that hits all the right notes, that conveys all the right information to them, and that makes us visible to them. A colleague of mine talks about having customers and prospects that have Velcro on the brain. As consumers, we do not hear messages that don't resonate with us, that don't make an immediate connection, that don't address some issue that we have, that don't try to eliminate a pain, save us money, save us time, improve the quality of our life. And so we need to get Velcro on the brain of our prospects so they hear the message that we're putting out there. That packaging of that message, whether that's social media or our internet website presence, it's newsletters, it's emails, it's product offerings, it's service, it's being out in the community, it's billboards and posters, it's whatever it is, our sponsorships, the referral sources. We want to become visible to them, and we want that visibility to have credibility and connection to their values, to what they're looking for. We want our message and our visibility to contain the elements of what we've been talking about, that we're a viable, growing business that everybody wants to do business with. We have a message and a brand that can be recognized. We are capable of delivering on that brand. We want the message to reiterate that. If you buy from us, our product, our service, our technology is quality. It does what it says, and we stand behind it. And we want that credibility in that message. We want testimonials. We want people to say, we've done business with them, and we love it. We solved their problem. We want to be able to launch our products, our services, our business out there in a manner that resonates with our target customer, our target market. We don't want to have Me Too type advertising, which means that we run something or we have a message that could just as easily describe our competition. This is especially important when we have products or services or technology that can be viewed as a commodity, which means it's more price sensitive. We want to do something that's different, that makes us stand out, that makes us able to charge a price different than our competition. We want to be the Apple of our industry. We want to be different. We want to be known for our quality, our service, our ability to respond to the customer, our timely delivery, our ability to keep our promises. Whatever that is that we want to stand for and be recognized for, that's what we have to get packaged in our message. And that message has to be delivered where our prospects and our customers are picking up their information. Radio or TV, social media, emails, referral sources, whatever it is for your particular business. And note, what works for your business may not be what works for my business and vice versa. That's something else you have to understand in developing your market niche and your intent towards your customer. What is it that your business needs to do and do well? I see businesses, especially small businesses, they're here. They need to be on Facebook. They need to be tweeting. They need on Instagram. They need on Pinterest. They need on Reddit. They need it on this and this and this and this and this and this. And they're getting nowhere because they haven't equipped themselves with the right tools. They don't get a result because their customers are not on those social media. Or they haven't honed their message in a proper format and content for the customers that are in those areas. So where standing out on Facebook used to be pretty easy, or being on Twitter with the millions and billions of pages and messages on all the social media, you need to do something differently that's authentic to stand out now. And so what is that, and what does it mean for your business? Making a plan that's unique to you, that meets your credibility, your needs, your capability needs, your customer base, is what is critical to being successful in making your business visible. You don't want to be all things to all people in your messaging. You don't want to reach people that are not going to buy from you. They're not going to have that Velcro on the brain. Instead, you want to create visibility unique to you, unique to your customers, that works and gets a return on your time and your investment. So we're talking about viability, capability, credibility, and visibility. That's what's going to make your business grow. So when it comes to developing your business, to growing your business, whether you're starting a new business, you're in an existing business that's struggling, or you're in a current business that's doing gangbusters and wants to take it to the next step, remember that it's about the business. It's about making connections. It's about the ability to have access to funds. And the way you do that is with those four components. You build a viable business built on an understanding of the marketplace, of the problem you're solving, of the solution you're providing, of how your customer behaves and what they need. You build a viable business that understands what it is in business to deliver and how it will make money by delivering that product, that service, or that technology to the intended customer. And you have to have a viable business, whether that means expanding with new products, whether it means changing your product offering entirely, looking for new markets, whatever that is, you have to identify a market of sufficient size, of sufficient quality and buying power that's going to be willing to buy your product at a price that makes a profit. And the second component is to make a capable business, to deliver on that promise, to be able to serve those customers that you've identified, to provide them a value that's going to make them part with their hard-earned dollar, that they are going to be willing to exchange their hard-earned money for your product because it solves their problem, it fulfills a need, it makes their life better in some way, saving them money, saving them time, or just enhancing their image, a brand-building image. You also have to look at your credibility in making those two things happen. What is your expertise? What's your experience? People interact and buy from people, not businesses. So what does your team look like? Are you experienced in business? Do you have a great business story? Do you have a great business idea and model? And do you have the right products and services and technology to serve your customer with? One thing I have talked about on other shows, but not on this show, is that you have to have the capability to understand what the customer wants. And that has to come first. What does the customer want? And then you figure out, how do you solve or provide what they want with your skills, your expertise, and your experience? Companies frequently get this backwards. They build a company, they build a product, a technology, or provide a service, and they start looking around for customers. Go to the marketplace and look for a viable market segment that you can serve that has a problem or a need that's not being answered fully, or that has an opportunity to add a different solution. And then build your business around providing that solution. Match what you can do to what the market needs. Don't try to go out and find a market that goes with what you can do. So think about the market first. Make sure you have that viable market. Then make sure you're capable of solving that problem. And then build your credibility. The more you can get testimonials, the more you can talk about your success stories of customers that you've done things with, of changes that you've made, the more other people are going to want to do business with you. The more success stories you can share, the more people are going to understand what you can do. And there's nothing that sells a new customer better than a satisfied customer that you've already helped and that has found value in what you've done for them. And then finally, we want to make sure those stories, those testimonials are visible, that our capability is visible to the marketplace. And if we can get those things working together, if we can be viable, capable, credible, and visible, then our business growth becomes organic. It motivates itself. It funds itself. It enables more success because we're authentic in our messaging. We know who we serve, how we serve them, why we serve them, and our marketplace knows that too. So be sure you're focused in on being viable, capable, credible, and then get visible. You don't want to get visible before you've tended the other three factors. And until next time, everyone, stay focused on the important things. Focus Resources is the underwriter of Focus on Business. Focus Resources provides expert advice on business growth, startup, and all issues related to operating, growing, and running a business. You can find out more about our underwriter, Focus Resources, by going to their website, focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com. You're listening to WCOM FM LP 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station. To support this community radio station, visit WCOMFM.org and learn how to become an underwriter of our programs, a Golden Voice underwriter for the station, or to give an individual donation. Community radio happens because of people like you.